Blog Talk Radio.
Colleges and universities, high schools,
as well as middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're so excited to bring before you some thoughts in regards to what's going on in historical black colleges. Because, you know, our title of our show tonight is Football. And it said again, football, the run to get to the championship. The run to get to the football championship. Yes, this is day one. That's a week one. We're talking about who's going to be in the championship in the East. So I'm so excited to be able to start this off. This is season three for us. This is our second year. In 2017, we started this particular show August 7th, which is our anniversary yesterday. And we give us 2 years having this show. This is what we're going into, what we call our third season, with over 162 episodes with all the shows that we have. So again, you can see the joy as I display on my face, and you can feel it in my heart. If you can't, I'm telling you, I'm excited. But God is blessing us to see another day and do something different to the network that we have here. Let me kind of share some things with you. I want to make sure you understand the call-in number for tonight's show is 347-857-4192. Slow it down a little bit. 347-857-4192. And the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Productions. So we're looking forward to doing what we need to do. Now, if you want to make contact with us and each of the team members, you can go to talkingforplus@gmail.com, as well as you can go to, if you just have a sense that you want to tweet us, to do that. And that's Talking Sports Plus with number one, as well as Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith, and also Tremaine Network with the number 7, Elliot Darrow with the number 1. That's the way to tweet the show. So we're looking forward to having you being a part of it. We're being broadcast 2 different ways tonight. We're going to be on Blog Talk Radio, get some feedback. And also, we're on Facebook. For those people on Blog Talk Radio, get some feedback there. We want to make sure we get you on Facebook, which is facebook.com/DR, which is Dr. L. D. Alberto Smith. You can check us out. Again, you can check us out on Blog Talk Radio by calling in. And that call-in number is 347-857-4192. All right, without further ado, let me take an opportunity to introduce my co-host. So glad to have these individuals with me so far tonight. I have 2 of them on the line, so I'm going to make sure I introduce each and every one of them in the manner I always do. You know, I'm excited about introducing because these young people, these individuals volunteering their time to be a part of this. And like a whole lot of funds that are available, we do it because of the goodness of our heart. But we know God is blessing us because he's sending us to our tour. And we're going to start our tour in October. We're going to travel around, do a panel discussion on relationships. We're going to talk about sports, talk about politics, we're talking about economics. So we'll be able to get around and we'll begin to see some of all the blessings that God has for us. So awesome. Start off by introducing the first young person, and she's our millennial. And she's the lady of the hour. As we talk about her, she's striving to be the best she could be. And she's none other than Coach Lori D. Smith. How you doing, Coach Lori?
I'm doing great this afternoon. Well, this night, tonight. I'm happy to be back this week. It's start of football season, official start of football season. So I'm ready to go ahead and get it popping.
All right, we're going to get it popping. We're going to get cranking up. Girl, so let's get it popping. That's our millennial right there. She's ready to get it popping, so we're going to make it pop, okay? Our next individual that serves us, he comes from North Alabama. I hear him talking in the back. He comes from North Alabama. He's our king. None other than Coach Tremaine King Elk. How you doing, Coach Elwood?
How y'all doing tonight? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you real good.
Okay, that wasn't me talking, Dr. Smith. I'm muted over here. But glad to be here tonight. Got some news. Let's get this thing started, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, awesome. And we're ready to get it started. I hear the babies in the background. Tell them we're ready to get it started. Tell them to get popped up. Eat chilies in the background. We love to have it. That's what it's all about. All right, our other three calls, and I see while I'm on the line on Facebook, and I want you to make sure you call in. And none other than Cameron Gilmer. I want you to call in because I want you to be a part of our team, Cameron. So give us a call. I see you on Facebook. If you got an opportunity to call in, and that's Coach Cameron Gilmer. He's another one I'm linked. You also have Touchdown Tony Stallworth. He'll be joining us as we move on with the show. He hails down from South Central Alabama, and he's a retired educator as well as the second in charge of the athletics. High School Athletic Association, that again, that's Tony Touchdown Stallworth. Last but not least, we have that individual that we hold very dear to our heart, our radio personality. You know, the show got off the ground with this person with the ideas coming up with. He said, we need to do this, let's do that. I was listening, let's make it do what it do. He conducts the E-Train. Traveling from North Florida all the way up to Montgomery, from Montgomery over to Troy, from Troy down to Duke. And he gets stopped at Alabama, none other than our radio personality, Darrell E. Train Elliott. Send me a notice that he won't be here because he's working, and he's doing his show, his radio show, during the same time he's working with us on our radio show. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. So let's get this thing started. Team, let's make it do what it has to do. Now, I have to introduce myself. I am Dr. Lewis, the host of this show. You know, I talk so fast sometimes, and I just forget and assume everybody knows who I am. I am the host, Dr. Lewis. Hey, team, football. The run to get to the football championship. Let's kind of start off with some scores in high school, some results from week zero. And we're going to kind of talk about the game you heard about. We're going to start with the game that happened on Thursday night in Montgomery at Crimson Bowl. Carver High School, Senior High School versus Jefferson Davis High School. The final score of the game was 18-13. Share your thoughts on that team.
I'll step in right quick, Dr. Smith.
Okay.
Games are very competitive from what I hear. I heard the first game, Jeff Davis versus Carver, was a sloppy game. And I heard the game Lee versus Paul Crosby was a hard-nosed game. Not much offense in either game. A lot of hard-nosed defense in the Lee-Paul Crosby game. But let's simplify this. The coaches just need to simplify something and roll with it, Dr. Smith. I think the stuff they're running is too difficult, and we don't know what we're doing on the field as players. So I think they simplify it. The players get to knowing what they're doing, and I think they will get points on the board. But I think they're trying to outthink each other, and it's backfiring on them, Dr. Smith. That's just my thoughts on both games.
Awesome.
Yeah, like Coach Edwards said, I heard it was a very competitive game both nights, even through the rain, because it almost got rained out, the Lee and Park Crossing game. But, this is not college football. That's what these young coaches have to understand. This is not college football. You can't come out here running a New England Patriots playbook with these kids, especially the first week. And I heard it was very sloppy. So maybe it'll improve this week. I highly doubt it, but we can only hope for the best. But I heard it was a nice atmosphere, actually. I heard no foolishness happened, so that's always a good thing.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to tell you, I was sitting in the stands at the game, Carver Senior High versus Jeff Davis, and a ditto was exactly what they're saying, because I'm going to tell you, it was a scene that I saw that shouldn't have been happening. I think it's so complex. Our young people are not grasping onto it. I see probably 15 to 20 prestigious ponies. If you're on the broadcast, it's a prestigious. That's when someone jumping outside, somebody in motion, and they shouldn't be in motion. But they were doing things so fast. Yes, it's the first game. It's week zero. Truth of the matter, it's not even week one, it's week zero. And they was playing, and they was playing so fast, sometimes they had sets when they had 10 players on the offense when you actually have to have 11 on offense. You can have 10 to play on defense. You can't do it on offense. And players running in and out, too many players running. And it got to the point where, you know, points left on the field, to the point where you had Harvard being down on the one-yard line right before the half, and the folks kind of misused the timeout and end up got no points out of the defense. And that the game was at that time was just 12 to 7 or 12 to nothing. I think 12 to 7 or even. It was something 13 to 7 and they scored, they was in the game. They could have went ahead of the game. But something is a small thing. And plus it had a lot to do with it. You know, the Steelers streams are hot. I was sitting out there, I was looking at my phone trying to check it out, and I'm looking at the temp looking at high as 89 to 90 degrees and Coach Everett. And tell you when you're out in the heat playing ball, it's hard. You're tougher on football players because you got all that equipment on. So it was a mind-boggling thing. We had a lot of craps going on, but it's going to soon to get better. I saw some possibilities, but I'm not going to just say that. But I'm supporting our young people at Carver High School, Davis, the coaches over there, the adjustments they can make. But they will learn that the biggest adjustments from week one to week two, so week zero to week one. You should see some adjustments. So that's what it's all about, dealing with Carver and Jeff Davis in that first game of the kickoff classic. Now, the call-in number, so you can see the pattern of this, is 334. Sorry. You know, I'm going to say 334. I'm going to have a team. 347-857-4192. Again, that's 347-857-4192. And if you want to be a part of this show, press 1. I identify you the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give your name and location and offer your comment about the topic you're talking about. All right, let's move to that game that was really exciting. And that was the second part of the kickoff class. That game was Hoover Buccaneers versus Central of Phoenix City, the Red Devils, who was ranked number 1 in the Class 7A of Alabama High School Athletic Association, and Hoover is ranked number 2. So, T, share your thoughts on that game and just let us know exactly your communication, what was said about that game. Coach Smith, we'll let you start off with it first.
I heard that was the best game of the whole weekend. Actually, I heard that was a very competitive game. I heard a lot of people say that that's a playoff team. Both of them playoff teams, but they're deep playoff team, which means they'll probably go far in the playoffs. I heard they were a Final Four playoff team. So I was very upset that I couldn't make it to that one. The rain kind of washed that out for me, but I heard that was the best game of all three of the games that were happening in Montgomery over the weekend.
Yes, sir. I heard the same, too. I'm going to say that might be the 7A championship game, too, Dr. Smith. I don't think nobody will give these teams way. They can only stop themselves. I think it will be a repeat at Bryant Denny Stadium, Dr. Smith.
Okay. You know, I tell you, I even talked to one of the parents that son that you brought down from Virginia to come down here and play at Central Phoenix City moved down. So he was telling me the game was delayed up until about 9:30, and it didn't end until about 12 o'clock at night. And I think that just kind of wore on the players as well as the fans, the band, the community, all that was out there in the stadium. That's a wear and tear. But the final score was 17-4. Hoover, who's ranked number 2 in 7A, then Central Phoenix City ranked number 1. They had 14. So that's how that game went. It is going to pretty much set the stage for the run for the football championship, because for the last 5 or 6 years, Coach Edwards can kind of follow up and let me know in regards to that. It either been Central or Phoenix City competing for the championship game. If I'm mistaken, it's been Central Phoenix City and Hoover. And Hoover, I think, won 5, and Central finally had a chance to win one last year. So that's one of the things we're looking at in high school. There's a couple other teams that we want to share. Now, Coach Edwards, up in your area, there was a couple kickoff classes up there. Can you share some thoughts on what exactly happened in your area, which is up North Alabama?
Yes, sir. We had James Clements versus Grayson, which was a powerhouse from Georgia, as we know, from Gwinnett County. Big-time school. They had 21 players that committed to Division I schools last year. I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed with them this year. They looked the par. I think James Clements had the game and blew it, Dr. Smith. James Clements went up 14-13, and the final was 23-13, Dr. Smith. From there, it was tough sailing, man. Grayson went up late. They can kick field goals. They can do all the essentials of a football team. But as far as dominant players, they was okay, but they wasn't the best that I seen. I believe if Grayson played anyone else, Central Phoenix City or Hoover, I think they get beat to sleep. That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. So, Smith, you got anything that you may have heard of or seen in regards to the high school before we move to our key points about the upcoming season and high school replay?
Yeah, I heard Park Crossing had a pretty good showing. Well, that's fake Calhoun, but I heard that they look really good. And when I say really good, I mean execution-wise. I heard they look big, they look strong, they look like they could make a good run later on in the playoffs. But yeah, Park Crossing, Pike Road is probably the best team around here, in my opinion.
Awesome. And Pike Road is one of the newest schools that started in Montgomery County, in a town that was carved out in the east part of Montgomery called Pike Road. And that city and town is up, and they have a high school now, have their own school system, and they started an athletic program to play well in basketball, and team making some semifinals in certain regions and so on. So you see things going on. That's a great opportunity, that Chris Smith said. There's plenty has been said about them being quite competitive in that class. All right, we want to look at the prevention and the treatment. I want to go back to this because I think it needs to be addressed just about every week until we get to a point where everybody understands. With our high school, our young people that's performing out on the field, performing wearing, the exertion to heat stroke, we want to be able to prevent and treat. One of the things I always tell young people and tell individuals who's out in the sun, and the heat index has been off the chain pretty much around here, been up into what we call the 110.5 in South Alabama, in North Alabama. It's just been hot everywhere. It's hot in Atlanta, all over places, Georgia, definitely in South Florida. So, yeah, to make sure to get plenty of fluids in their body. One way to prevent is to get fluids in their body. Now, to treat them, you got to make sure you understand. You got to get them once they're hot and get their temperature down. Ice packs are sometimes good as the oven and food is working too. But don't take a shower and throw them in a tub of cold water. That's the thing you don't need to do. That is not what you need to do. But make sure they get plenty of fluids in their body so that means they can deal with the heat. They won't be cramping up. Make sure they use some other stuff, like mustard. Bananas, all kind of things that can work with you to get your muscles in a point where they won't cramp up. So keep that in mind. Coach Smith, or even Coach Edwards, what are your thoughts in regards to the prevention and treatment of exertion heat stroke?
Um, have us you have to have a pool of ice sitting by. You know, it's all kinds of, you know, guidelines and procedures they want you to follow when it comes to this heat stroke and, you know, heat prevention. Just keep the kids hydrated and roll from there. Plenty of water, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. So, Smith, what's your thoughts in regards to the heat?
Just like Coach Ed was said, plenty of water, yeah. Timeout for those soldiers athletes should have been putting them down, but especially during this little heat wave, we got to put those soldiers down. Parents, got to make sure your kids are stretching and doing things that won't have them tight. That's my biggest thing is tightness and just staying loose. Even when you don't have practice, make sure you go work out, but also when you're working out, make sure that you stay hydrated.
And that's awesome. That's what you got to keep in mind. We're sharing some thoughts in the form of our expertise about dealing with exertion and heat stroke. We got to be ready for it, as I said, and as well as each one of the co-hosts said, that make sure they get center fluid. Do not do this in Coach Smith as well as Coach Edwards and attest to this. Don't start trying to get them lather up with fluid on the day of. They have to start the first part of the week. And that's Monday. They're getting plenty of fluids all week. So when they go out there, they won't cramp up. It's so amazing. There are certain kids I saw out there that was cramping up. It wasn't like a whole large number of them, but the ones cramping up. So that means those students that wasn't cramping up, they was out there in the heat as well. So that their body's reacting because they may have more fluids in their body. And one other thing, and Coach Smith always shared this with us, stay away from those power drinks. Stay away from them power boost drinks. Some boosters and all those that have all that sugar in it, it's not good. Don't the child say, I'm tired. Don't start pouring that in his body. Just try to get some fluids in and get some water in and just keep them in a position so they can be successful. We don't want to lose another child to being out on that field and they can't not get the temperature to come down. You got a heat stroke on. That's one of the things. So prevention and treatment. Alabama High School Athletic Association, as well as Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, South Carolina. That's all we're talking about, the southeastern part, Louisiana, as well as Arkansas. One of the biggest things about it, they're all on the same thought process, meaning that they're making sure that they all meet at a time because all associations meet and they talk about prevention and treatment. Make sure if you have a son or daughter in school, if you participate in a sport, you ladder them up a lot of water. Put a lot of water in it. Make sure you do that so you can avoid cramping up out on a basketball court, on a volleyball court, on a soccer field, on a football field, or whatever it may be. Make sure you do that. And that's how you treat that. Next thing we want to look at is the high school replay. And I want both of the team members to think about it, but I don't want to talk about it because I saw it in the play on a Thursday night. The Alabama High School Athletic Association adopted the high school replay just like the college do, as well as the professional. You have a challenge. You're supposed to have an opportunity to throw a flag and challenge, red flag. I saw it in the play because it was a play where Carver was down on the half-guard line, quarterback seat, quarterback, everybody say got in, but he fumbled the ball when he got in. However, when he went to the replay overruled the fumble and made it put it in a position to be a touchdown. So I saw it in the play the first time in high school being actually used. They talked about it last year. It was in play for the championship and the playoff run, but it was actually seen to be used very well in the high school game on Thursday night between Carver Senior High and Jefferson Davis High School. Coach Edwards, as well as Coach Smith, what do y'all think about the high school replay school? High school replay tool they're using now, the replay.
I dive in right quick, Lauren. That's excellent. Quick question, Dr. Smith. What about schools that don't have the ability to provide the video footage? So do they just not have it there or what?
They just not have it. They don't have it there. It's just in situations like that, it's being used, and saying that, but that was a kickoff class sponsored by the High School Athletic Association. And so if you got the equipment, some schools gonna have equipment. Hoover gonna have the equipment, most likely. I'm just saying, Josephine have the equipment. Dane Clemens gonna have the equipment. Huntsville High gonna be able to do it. See, they'll be able to do it. In Birmingham, I think, but in some of the rural area where you're too small school and you don't have that kind of equipment, the replay won't play. But my question is just, what effect will it have on the game? That's what we want to look at, the high school replay. What effect can it have on a game like that, Wells Carver and Jeff Davis, any other game for the rest of the season? I just want y'all to kind of tell your story.
Well, Dr. Smith, if they're getting the call right, I agree with you. I mean, that's going to have a great effect because I haven't seen so many games in high school end on bad calls. So if it boils down to them getting it right, I agree with you totally.
Awesome. Before we move into further, Coach Trey as well as Coach Smith, we have on our other co-host, that is the Touchdown Tony Stallworth. He has joined us, and we thank him for gracing us with his presence. And that's Coach Tony Stallworth. How you doing, Tony?
My brother, and my brothers. I got in at a good time. Thank you so very much for allowing me to intervene in a very, very, what I say, a hot topic. Dr. Smith, you handled that real well by distinguishing schools that might be in low socioeconomic environments that don't have the resources to maintain that. And that's why the association does not mandatory it. Brother Trey, back to you, when you said games end in bad calls. Games start in bad decisions, too, with coaches, as well as bad decisions with coaches. Coaches are human, and games end bad in pros, even with the replay. So replay is an aid for humanistic areas, simply because of the fact that in real time, you can get it right. But if you miss it, sometimes you can have the aid of those type of resources to go back and try to correct. What you want to do is to get it right. And also, as Brother Trey was saying, is you don't want, especially in high school, for kids to lose the game of a human error, especially when they're unintentionally. So I think the replay is going to broaden this aspect. And what's going to probably happen is some of the smaller schools now that don't have the resources are trying to use this time before it may become mandatory, or use this time so they can get on the same level with the other schools to go ahead and do fundraisings and ask them, try to find other resources. When they find out the valuability of it, you know, it's just like anything else. You get what you need if you need it. You get what you want if it becomes productive. So I think it's going to be something going forward. I tell you what, we come a long way without it and survive without it. And, you know, once just like social media and just like cell phone, once we become a microwave, once we become dependent on something, we depend on it. So I think it's something that's going to prove to be very resourceful, simply because of the fact officials are very limited now. So it'll help a bad official real good. Just make the call and go back and try to get the aid of the replay to correct it. That's just my take on that.
Awesome. All right. Coach Smith, Coach Edwards, I'll jump in right now, and I just want to make sure I introduce him. I'll touch down Tony and make it our high school president expert. Thank you so much. Go ahead on, Coach.
I'm good, Dr. Smith. Touchdown Tony hit it on the point. He hit that one on the point.
Awesome. So, Smith, you got any points you want to add to what effect it will be on the game by having a high school replay?
No, I think y'all hit everything on the head when it comes to it. So, I don't have anything on it.
Okay, awesome. Just remember, this is the call-in number 347-857-4192. You want to be a part of the show. I see several people on Facebook, and I do appreciate each and every one of you all. But you can call in as well. And want to be a part of, press 1. I identify you the last 4 digits of the cell or telephone number. Then I actually tell you who you are, where you're calling from, and actually offer your comments and your questions. All right, we're going to look at the coach's corner, and we want to kind of look at the results of week 0. And we had two games that went on this past weekend besides the FCS. There may have been others, but the one that made primetime broadcasting, you had the game Miami versus Florida. I want your thoughts, King. Tell your thoughts on that. Tell us exactly what did you get a chance if you saw the game, what did you pick up, how do you see both teams performing at the level to be competitive to get to the championship, the football championship. Share your thoughts. Share your thoughts on it.
If I would, I thought it was a very, very, very good opening season game. Highly competitive, and you always expect a lot of speed when you look at Florida team. That's traditionally. I mean, even back in several days, even before Tebow, actually, and a great rivalry as well. You know, that game put us into a situation where instead of being week one, it looked like a game that could be a deciding factor for a conference win or a determination for a bid in a bowl. It was at a high level. I think the mistakes that were made in that contest were dictated by how well you had speed that flipped the field and how well coaches were depending on first-year players to be in certain positions. And I'm going to say this, even down to the end, when that was a crucial turnover at the end, Miami had a chance to win that ball game and flip the ball back to Florida. So it was one of those situations where if those two teams meet again or have to meet again, you can look for another exciting contest. That's what you want in an opening contest. Maybe we'll get that in next weekend, Dr. Smith, with Tuskegee and Alabama State. That's about it.
Hey, that's a good chance. We're gonna look for it because last year, as you know, ended in overtime. So it was outstanding. And just kind of add with that, I'm going to let Coach Spencer West, Coach Trey come and share their thoughts on the Miami and Florida game. I watched the game, and it was an exciting ball game. I can tell you that. Because it was a significant tough on back and forth defense. You know, this is, you know, they say defense wins championship, but, you know, offense put people in the seat. At this point, those both defenses was awesome. They were playing at a high level. They pulled out the chain. They Miami with their chain. And they had a nice, pretty, beautiful, big gold chain. And that was given to the players for their success of getting a turnover. And that's what they do for Miami, turnover chain. That's what they call it. So it was awesome.
The you.
I really enjoyed it. The you. And I look, and on the sideline, you saw all the former players that played for Miami.
Exactly.
From the 80s to the 90s, Miami dominated football. And then you saw the players over there for Florida on the sideline. It was good. That's the kind of atmosphere. I talked to someone who actually drove down one of the former students of Florida, University of Florida, and went down, and they just really enjoyed the game. And the traffic was off the chain. And they was not in Gainesville. They was in Orlando. It was not in Miami. They was in Orlando, and this was an awesome traffic. We applaud. Just the NCAA making sure the state of Florida, the two universities getting together to play the game. So that's what it's all about. That's what's going to happen starting with Thursday. You have Alabama State and UAB, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And then this weekend, you got Duke and Alabama. You got awesome game that's coming on primetime, Oregon at number 11, and you got Auburn in there. Not mistaken, I think they're number 15, 18, one of them. That's going to be an awesome 16. Game. We'll talk a little bit about that because Auburn used to do starting a true freshman at quarterback. So we want to kind of see how that's going to turn out. But Coach Smith and Coach Trey, share your thoughts in regards to the Miami and the Florida game that occurred this past weekend.
Big-time game, Dr. Smith. Like y'all said, I enjoyed watching that one. It was a great game. It was the only game on at that time. Broke records for the Ravens, you know. For that game, one thing I didn't like how Coach Enos criticized his quarterback, his freshman quarterback. You could see the lights were too bright for him right there at the end, man. Like Touchdown Tony said, Miami had plenty enough chances at that end to win that game, but the lights got too bright for that freshman quarterback. Enos said he was disappointed in how the quarterback played. If you felt like that, he knows you should have played tape. That's how I feel. So that should have been a coaching move that you did. But all in all, that was an excellent game. Both teams played well. Both defenses played well. So I can't complain about that.
Yeah,
Coach Smith, and Trey, you did a good job at handling that, because here's what happens is, anytime that you don't, first of all, just like he said, when you make the decision for a freshman quarterback or young quarterback to play, the worst thing you can ever do is criticize him, won or lost. You make a decision to keep him on the field or take him off.
Yes, sir.
If you have decided to go with him, then his confidence level needs to be, well, if I make him, you don't ever want to be in a situation. We've all played the game, all of us. Even Melinda, mm-hmm. You played it. You don't ever want to be on a platform where you worried about, if I make a mistake, I'm coming out. That could never be. That could never be.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at it, he gave that team an opportunity to win that contest. He did. He can't win it. Boom. The turnover that may have happened under his direction was reflected because when it happened. But he put them in a position to win along with the defense. So I think the coach would have probably been sad off by saying, team instead of the individual, and use the terminology as turnovers that may have been untimely that caused them to come up with a loss, because both of those teams deserved to win that game, but only one team won. I hate to intervene there, but that was a very good point he made, and it needed some more justification to it, because, you know, coaches need to understand that. I mean, I was listening to an interview the other day, even with Indianapolis, with the luck, and I don't mean to jump here, is that, you know, when you put someone in, that person has to have the confidence, and Bo Nix will see the same thing, has to have the confidence and the support, too. Support is important. That, hey, I'm human, I'm going to do some things, but I'm not going to do anything intentionally to disallow our team to lose. And if that's the case, and it happens early on, that's when a coach needs to at least have a timeout or a discussion, or just do like they do in baseball, baby. Change pitches. That's all I can say.
If you pull them out, you have to always try to pull them out, and that's what it's all about. The call in number is 3-4-7-8-5-7-4-1-9-2. That's 3-4-7-8-5-7-4-1-9-2. Give us a holler, shout out. You can chat with us as well. Share your thoughts. I said, again, we're on Facebook as well as Blog Talk Radio. Just be a part of it by calling in, pressing 1. And I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to give us your name, location, and what's your comment or what's your question. All right. I don't want to kind of skip over, but I want to talk about games that are coming up. But I'm going to leave 1 or 2 games with historical black college on our session with our time. We got 18 minutes, so we're going to make sure we touch base. All right. We want to discuss something on the professional ring. Andrew Luck retiring at the age of 29. Was it fair for the fans? I know it was fair for Andrew Luck. I know that. But was it fair for the fans of the Indianapolis Colts as well as the players? Was it fair? Share your thoughts on that team.
I think fans have the autonomy to, at the price of tickets, to force their opinions. But those fans in Indianapolis should have been prepared anyway. Hell, Andrew Luck been in and out of the game season for the last 2.5 years. And
yes.
they should have been in a situation to be prepared to move forward. Because I'm going to tell you something. The more I look at and the more I listen to that whole exit of Andrew Luck, it seemed like Indianapolis Colts was prepared.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were prepared. It seemed like they got prepared last year when they started using their rotation of coaches. And here's another thing that the fans don't get, and hosts or show hosts and also listeners. Fans don't hear the whole underlying agendas like medical opinions that are given prior to first injuries and longevity that they're telling players that they may survive, and players going through so much severe pain. Grump came on today and said that, you know, and he was emotional with it, said that
mm-hmm.
he laid up in the bed and literally cried after the Super Bowl with just excruciating pain. I'm going to tell you something. Money is good, but the longevity in that sport is not long. And pain is pain, whether you broke or you rich. It just doesn't feel good. Have you ever woke up with a toothache in the middle of the night and just won't damn go away? Woo.
Yes, sir.
And if you ever get it gone, you say what? So fans overpopulate things like that. That's expected. We have that in high school as well. And they got a sense of realization of appreciating him, and they'll be the first one to come up and appreciate it. It's just that their expectation, they want their expectation to go with their money. I got this season ticket. I'm coming to see Andrew Luck. But let me tell you something. 4-0, they won't think about Luck anymore and move forward. They love football in Indianapolis.
Awesome. I tell you, Coach Edwards, you got any thoughts on that? Coach Smith.
I agree with Coach Starworth right there. My sentiments exactly. Gronk also said, he also stated that he couldn't even walk after that Super Bowl. He couldn't walk. So, like you said, it's a reason behind it. No one is just going up and just lead a game that they love because they love
it because
they're there. It's a reason behind it. You know, everybody can just, you know, it's a reason behind it. It'll come out later and they'll tell you later. But it's a reason why, look, Leif, like Star Wars said, you don't know what these doctors telling these players. So they
just
told him something, and he just came up with an excuse to get out of there. He said he's mentally worn down. That's what his thing was. So we're going to go with that, and we're going to move on. He ain't going to stop no show. Like you said, you put another pro in that position and roll on.
They all pros, Coach Edwards. They every one. That's why they sound. They all
everyone pros.
It's waiting on an opportunity. That's all it is, an opportunity.
That's it.
Next man up, and that's what it's all about. Again, as we talk about this topic with Andrew Luck, and it seems like some people believe it's going to be a trend. I hear some talking here in pundits saying that, you know, he's letting his team down. He's letting his fans down. The fans should be mad with him. But nobody knows exactly what's going on with him. As Coach Edwards and Coach Tony Stallworth said, he simply said, you don't know what kind of pain he's going through. And the thing I've been on that field. I know the kind of pain you can come out being on that field every day, then on Friday night or Thursday night or Saturday, playing and your body hurts you all over. And you just, why do I do this? But something in your mind says I'm going to continue to do it. So Andrew Luck took a beating. You know, he had a concussion. He had a lacerated liver. He had he also had an opportunity to have cracked ribs and had knee and had everything. Because when you're out on the field, you got a man running at you, one of the best athletes in the country and in the world. Talking about that 280 or 260, 6'6", and going to try to take your thighs and your knees out. Your body only going to take so much of it. So we got to understand that we can draw our opinion. Yes, fans want to see him out there, help the team to win. But it, all in all, his health is more important. Gronkowski, health is more important. That's the retire from the New England Patriots, the tight end. And, you know, that's what's important. So we got to look at it that way. So it's nothing but a plus. It's a good experience. If it become a trend, that's all right. Let it be a trend. If they retire after 9 years. When their body's been beat up, so it's time to retire. Because you got a family, you got things you want to do in life, and you're only 29 years old. Your body's so broke down, you can't hardly walk. Look at some of these former athletes, Coach Stallworth, Coach Edwards. We see some of these guys can't hardly walk. They got to walk with canes.
That's true.
It's just, especially a football player, just beat up all over. So I applaud him for stepping up and do love saying this time, I can't do this no more. It ain't like he said at home. He came to the stadium and said, I'm going to retire because I can't do it. Yes, 2 weeks before the first game, but it's for the good of the team that they make a decision instead of him going out in the first game to get hurt. So it all works out. It's some good and bad. But that's what we're talking about. You can be a part of 347-857-4192. Let's kind of look at a couple of
Let me say this, Dr. Smith. You know, as Darrell Lee would say, the reality of the whole thing is that second opinion that the doctors gave, and Coach Edwards, you might remember this too, that said something about a bone being displaced somewhere near that area, meaning that the diagnosis they had on the cast extended it into something a little bit more detrimental. And I'm almost sure that that was one of the things that really put him into a mental state, because he was trying to get rehab for a calf injury. And
yep.
then went back for another diagnostics and found out he had some type of bone disorder or something, which never really was clearly explained. So I think that's something that was kind of like hidden. I think that's got something to do that jeopardized his plan. And for him to retire respectfully, and he was mad about it too, just like you said, Dr. Smith. He came to the stadium. Now, I've always liked to hear him talk because he's always been professional. Came from Stanford, he's always been articulate about his interviews and how he felt about his team, and that guy deserves to walk out. And just like it was said this morning, it's best to walk out than to be rolled out.
There you go. That's the key to it. Walk out instead of being rolled out. It's so important that we keep that in mind. All right, we're going to take a step over and look at some games that are coming up this weekend. We'll start with on Thursday night, you have Alabama State University, Historical Black College and University, taking on University of Alabama in Birmingham, which is the PWI, people not sure as predominant white institute. And they'll be playing the game on Thursday up at Legion Field. Give your thoughts on that team, and then we're going to look at Alabama against Duke, and we're also going to look at Georgia Tech against Clemson, and then we'll look at Auburn against Oregon. Share your thoughts on the game on Thursday, which you've got two of them going on Thursday.
Alabama State University, my love, my first love, and I hope that none of the listeners or co-hosts take this wrong. Go up there. Play hard, play smart, get that damn check, and come on, bring your ass on back home. Because I'm gonna tell you something. You have to use common sense in the business of professionals. Excuse me, in high level sports. Are we out of our league? Not necessarily when it comes to pound for pound resources. Probably in a sense. Better equipped in a lot more areas. Probably their competition level, what they play, yes, because of what they play on their regular season. But it's a sensible game where you use it to better yourself, but you don't go in there and lose players, and won't be able to come back to compete for what is really really on the line for you. So be smart, play hard, get the check, come to the house. Let's get ready. But Tuskegee, that's my take.
Awesome. All right, so the other Coach Smith.
My sentiments exactly. Get that check and get on back to the house. You need to be as healthy as possible. Like you said, you got a rival game week two. Get that check. Get you some good Golden Corral in you. You know, you go to Golden Corral up in Birmingham and get on back. I'm with you right there, Coach Stalwart.
Exactly. Coach Smith.
I'm going to go a little different. I actually want to see some competition, at least in the first quarter, because if I'm paying $20 to come up there and see how I'm going to get screwed, at least give me some competitiveness for one quarter now. And after that, you can pull all the starters out and get them prepared for Tuskegee next week, because this might be a check game, but next week, the money game. You know what I'm saying? We need the money game first. The check game can go last. We need the money game first. So I'm going to be there, and I want to see a very, very competitive first quarter.
Awesome. That's what we're talking about. And we're referring to the game between Alabama State University and UAB. University of Alabama, Birmingham, up in at Legion Field on Thursday night, kickoff at 7 o'clock. And the next game for Alabama State will be the post-Labor Day Classic at Alabama State University Stadium, and at Alabama State versus Tuskegee University. And that's going to be a big weekend, so they want to be as healthy as possible. But I see we have a question on here, and I'm going to see if the caller wants to share their thoughts. Caller with 1066, your last four digits. You have any thoughts? You're live now.
Hey, this is the King's mother. I must commend Alabama State. We shared with them on Sunday in church. Coach had all the boys in church, and we fed them afterwards, had lunch with them. But I must commend the discipline of the boys. We had four of the team members to join church on Sunday. And
that's
also
That's a blessing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I must commend. We had two busload of them at the church, and we in rural country, Whitehall, Alabama, and Coach he had them in line, and I must commend Alabama State. But I also told Coach, now you can win whatever you win, just don't win the classic. I also told him that in joking. But
wait a minute.
Yeah, you can win whatever you win, but just don't win the classic. My money went to A&M. I commend Coach, and I'm planning on going to the game tomorrow as well up in Birmingham. But I just wanted to say that.
Let me
awesome.
Say this to
Thank
you too. I think what you've done was a very noble thing, you know, for you and your church based community. Those are the type things that we've gotten away from, and we expect for our student athletes to stay disciplined. We have to keep them in disciplined environments, and I think that was something very, very good. Plus, you spent some money, too. You fed them football players. Our football players eat up some food now. So kudos to you. May God bless you and your church-based community.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We received that blessing.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Carla. We appreciate the team mama coming and calling in here and saying something. We appreciate it so much. All right. Now, let's kind of move for a couple more topics, and we don't have about 4 minutes. We're just going to kind of look at them, and that's starting with the game Clemson and Georgia Tech. We want to make a prediction on that game. What's your thoughts, team? We need a prediction on Clemson and Georgia Tech, then Alabama, Duke, and then Oregon and Auburn. That'll be Saturday tonight. One of them is 6, and I think 6 or 7. The other one is at 8 o'clock prime time. Share your thoughts, team.
Clemson, Georgia Tech, ACC battle. I take Clemson as everybody probably will. I say 3.5, 4 touchdowns. I think they ease up and a lot of players will play. Trevor will have a good game. He will try to find out what weapons he have at the wideout this year going forward. But Clemson all the way in that one. Georgia Tech will make you play. Now, Georgia Tech plays good football. Georgia Tech don't bow down to anybody in the ACC. And they have done well in the ACC. But having Clemson to be the superior not only of ACC but of college football shows you that conference has to be or will have to be a lot more competitive to be recognized going forward. But I take Clemson in 3.5 or 4 touchdowns.
Okay. Coach Edwards, Coach Smith, you want to tell your thoughts on the games yet?
I got you. I'm going to hit all three. I'm going with Clemson, I'm going with Bama, and I'm going with Auburn. Bama game, man, we got a blow. We took
Coach
a
Evans,
little blow.
Coach Evans, do you have to use the term we? I thought you were talking about Alabama. What's the we? What's the we?
Yeah, that's the we. That's my team, Howard. I mean, that's what I grew up with. So they going to get their
Go ahead,
we.
Coach.
Yeah, but hey, look, we took a blow last night. We started two true freshmen inside linebackers at Alabama.
Every year this time we talk about the same thing. You signed 5-star players and deep 6 deep in every position. Who in the hell worried about Alabama losing one player when they got to take 6 deep in every position and they all 5-stars?
We ain't lost one. We lost two of them, both of them with an ACL.
It don't matter. You lost 6 points in 3 years and then lose with 2 games behind that. You
right,
loaded.
Right. Yeah. That's that University of Alabama football. Coach Edwards, you want to say
that's
the other
so,
two?
It's a program.
Okay, you got Auburn, Alabama, and Clemson. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Auburn, Alabama, Clemson. Yes, sir. That's it.
Coach Smith, I want to share your thoughts on those three games. We're moving close to the end of the hour, and we want to make sure we give everybody an opportunity to share their thoughts.
All right. I got Clemson by 100, Alabama by 1,000,000.
Auburn by
2 touchdowns.
Last but not least, Ballin' with the Doc. We had an awesome time, team. I appreciate y'all every time joining us, but we're about to close it out now. If you got any thoughts you want to say, you have an opportunity right now to shout out what you want to shout out.
Hey, been a good one. Football season is on the way. Let's kick it off and have a good time. As always, have a nice day. You take the day. Don't let the day take you.
Awesome, awesome. Great.
All right, I'll jump in. Shout out to my Chapman Indians, man. We won yesterday 70-40. The score to have was, I appreciate it. Score to have was 54-16. Hey, we rolling. Got something special up here. Got something special. Y'all have a great night.
Awesome, awesome. So, Smith, let's wrap it up and we'll close it out.
Tremaine, are y'all playing basketball or football? I'm confused. What season is it? My God, 70-40? Anyway, yeah, great show tonight. Glad to be back on another week. Join the shows Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Y'all go out and support these kids this weekend. If you're going up in Birmingham tomorrow, please let me know so we can catch up, talk some football.
Awesome, awesome. I tell you, it's been an awesome show. And as we get to the end of the show, I always give my hashtag. Hashtag keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for the number four understanding. And last but not least, I love you. It ain't a thing you can do about it. We're going to end it up with a smile. Smile. We're going to look at it and we're going to keep smiling. We don't own the rights to this song, but we want to play.
We're going to start this thing all right. Duval in the Manila, organ now come on, now come on. Hey, 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 do it, baby, take it, baby. Hey, 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 do it, baby, take it, baby. Hey, 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 do it, baby, take it, baby. Hey, 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 do it, baby. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you, no. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you, no. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you, no. I'm living my best life.
Got a lot to be smiling for.
Bam, bam,
so what the f*** you be wildin' for?
Bam, bam,
come on, I get my grin on. I'm smiling, bitch, cause I always get my win on. I've been on so many different stages. Graced the cover of 100 magazine pages. Made people smile everywhere that I went. I even put it on the first black president. It's evident I'm hot as a crock pot. With a big ass smile like Mr. Hotspot. You got a lot to be smiling for.
Bam, bam, bam.
So what the f*** you be wildin' for?
Bam, bam, bam.
If you're breathing, you achieving.
Bam, bam, bam.
We having fun this evening, believe it.
Bam, bam, bam. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you, no. I'm living my best life.
Your middle fingers up in the air.